Welcome to Hope for Today, a weekly Bible teaching program that will bring you hope for every day. Thanks so much for joining us here on Hope for Today. It is good to be with you, and we're excited that today's lesson is from a New Testament book. It has been a while since we spent some time in the New Testament. We just completed about a year of study in Exodus, and the year before, we went through Genesis. Now, we are switching it up a bit and going through the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. Here at Heralds of Hope, we are convinced the whole Bible is true. And in every book of the Bible, there are things we can learn when we take the time to study. The reason we study is not only so we can become more intelligent. This can happen. And to me, it's amazing to see the principles God has given us in His Word. But our main goal for studying God's Word is so our lives become more like Jesus. The goal is life change. We don't want to stay the same. We want to become more like Jesus. As it says later in 2 Corinthians, we are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. This is a neat promise, and this is what we want to happen as we study God's Word. It is the incredible power in the Word that causes this to happen. We don't completely understand it, but we've seen it happen, and we look forward to the Spirit continuing His transforming work in our lives. Our title today is Rightly Dividing the Word. Since this is the first lesson from 2 Corinthians, this lesson looks at the city of Corinth and what made it such an interesting city. If we take some time to understand the city, it will help us understand the rest of the book as we go through it. J. Mark also asks other good questions to help us think about what may have gone into writing this book. Our goal is to rightly divide the word, as our title suggests. Now, let's give our attention to Pastor J. Mark Horst as he brings us this first lesson from 2 Corinthians.
When Heralds of Hope began its Bible teaching ministry more than 50 years ago, the defining feature of that teaching was exposition. And one of the core values of our organization is its focus on the expository teaching of Scripture. But what does that mean? The heart of expository preaching and teaching is this: it is a commitment to preach the text. This commitment is rooted in the biblical declaration that we find in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, for correction, for reproof, and for training in righteousness. And since that's true, the pastor teacher who wants to speak for God must use God's Word as the basis for that teaching. So how can you tell if a sermon or a teaching is truly an exposition? Well, here are some questions you can ask. Is the text accurately interpreted according to both its immediate and broader biblical contexts? Are the main points of the teaching and subpoints derived from the text? Does the sermon's application come from the text, and is the text being brought to bear on the listeners? You see, an expositor doesn't merely preach from a text or on a text. He preaches the text. These three essentials mark an expository sermon, and these three questions will let you know when, in fact, the Word has been truly preached. Hopefully, you'll see how this works itself out as we begin our study in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians here on Hope for Today. Now, whenever we want to understand a document, we must understand the historical background of that document. The importance of understanding historical background is especially true when it comes to our interpretation of the Scripture, because the culture in which the Bible was written is very different from our culture today. It's different from your culture and mine. If we don't have some understanding of the cultural practices that existed when the Bible was written, then we can very easily end up with wrong interpretations. And it was also written in languages that are unfamiliar to us. And because of this, some people say, "Pah, the Bible's out of date. It's irrelevant for us." But that's not true. Although the outward cultural scenes have changed, the universal principles in the Bible remain, and they apply to us today. Now, the significance of understanding the historical background is determined by the extent to which a text deals with a specific problem of a particular situation. Let me give you just one example. In Acts chapter 6, we have the situation of Greek-speaking Jewish widows in Jerusalem who were being neglected in the church's distribution of resources. And to properly understand that passage or that text, we need to know some of the historical background. This factor of understanding historical background plays a larger role in the interpretation of some books of the New Testament than it does in others. Knowing the cultural and historical background of Paul's letters to the Corinthians is very important to our understanding of them, and also for us to make proper application to our lives today. There are several questions we must ask ourselves when we study any portion of Scripture. When was this written? What did the author want to communicate? How would his original audience understand what he wrote? What's different from the time of the writing than today? And what's the same? What timeless principles are involved? And what is the application to our day? These are all questions we'll attempt to answer as we begin a study of 2 Corinthians. And here are the opening verses of Paul's letter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Corinth was a prominent city in the first century. It was a Roman colony and the capital of the Roman province Achaia. It was located in Greece on an isthmus, that's a narrow strip of land between the Aegean and the Ionian seas. And this location was strategic. Picture the hub and the spokes of a wheel. And so that made it important, both in a military way and also commercially. Because of its location, Corinth was a cosmopolitan city. That is, people of many different nationalities either lived there permanently or they stayed there briefly as they were passing through in their travels to other parts of the region. And we'll discover in our study that this diversity of people became a challenge to the formation of a thriving church there in Corinth. Corinth was a very prosperous city, but it was also known for its immorality. Because of its bad reputation, a new Greek word was coined which meant to live immorally like a Corinthian. One Bible commentator described this important city this way: intellectually alert, materially prosperous, and morally corrupt. Now just imagine in that setting a church being born. All churches reflect to some extent the society in which they exist. So the church in Corinth existed in a grossly sinful atmosphere that affected them, and it led to some of the issues that Paul addressed in his letters. The temple of the goddess Aphrodite was in Corinth. Hundreds of young women served in that temple as ritual prostitutes. So idolatry and immorality were closely linked together. There were also other popular idol temples in Corinth. These temples all played a significant role in the life of the community. And so one issue that arose in the church directly from this fact was the discussion of whether a believer should or shouldn't eat meat that had been offered to idols. Acts 18 records for us Paul's ministry in Corinth during his second missionary journey. We understand that Paul wasn't anticipating a very warm welcome in Corinth. His experience in the neighboring cities caused him to approach Corinth, in his words, in fear and much trembling. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. While he was in Corinth, he met Aquila and Priscilla, and he worked with them as a tent maker. He used the income from making tents to support his preaching of the gospel. So he likely worked much of the week, and then he preached in the synagogue every Sabbath. When the majority of the Jews rejected his teaching, Paul left the synagogue and began teaching in the House of Justice, which was next door to the synagogue. Paul's ministry resulted in the salvation of Jews and Gentiles, so the church in Corinth was made up of both. and we know that Paul ministered in Corinth for about a year and a half. During the time that Paul was in Corinth, opposition began to grow. The unbelieving Jews in the city brought charges against Paul before the Roman proconsul Gallio. But Gallio refused to get involved in what he saw as a religious dispute. Paul stayed a little bit longer, but eventually he moved on to the city of Ephesus. We know that he remained in contact with the Corinthian church through his letters and personal representatives. He was sending them warnings and instructions. Paul's letters to the Corinthians make up his largest body of work directed at an individual congregation. His letters address specific problem areas in Corinth that unfortunately are still with us in the church today. And that's because human nature hasn't changed. It hasn't changed at all since the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden. After Paul planted the church in Corinth and moved on, a variety of factions formed and they began quarreling among themselves. Those factions developed around various leaders like Paul and Apollos and others. This was reported to Paul by the people of Chloe, and he also received some questions that were sent to him by the church. His counsel and his answers form the letter we know as 1 Corinthians. Now, unfortunately, that first letter didn't clear up the issues in Corinth, and the situation continued to get worse. So Paul made what he referred to as a painful visit to them. After his visit, which didn't seem to have the desired effect, he returned to Ephesus and wrote what we now know as 2 Corinthians, somewhere around the year AD 55 or 56. There appear to be several reasons for Paul's writing this second letter. A primary one was to defend his apostolic authority to a rebellious minority that was present in the Corinthian church. They accused him of taking too much authority on himself. And so because of this, his letter becomes deeply personal as he shares experiences and information that verify his apostolic authority. Another reason was to strengthen the faithful believers there, who thankfully were in the majority. And then finally, he urged them to exercise generosity toward other believers as an expression of being like Jesus. The overarching theme of this letter seems to be the relationship between suffering and the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. So I've titled this series, Jars of Clay, Suffering, Submission, and Sanctification. I hope you can join me each week as we explore the book of 2 Corinthians here on Hope for Today.
Thanks, J. Mark, for these encouraging thoughts on how to better study the Bible. I don't know about you, but I hope to improve in this area. It was good to hear this background of Corinth and 2 Corinthians. We have just started our study in 2 Corinthians, so if you would like a copy of today's teaching, or if you have any questions about it, please let us know. Here is how you can contact us. The best way is email. Our email is hope@heraldsofhope.org. If you don't have email, you can write to us. Our address is Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can connect with us on our website. Our website is heraldsofhope.org. On our website, you can find other helpful resources and more teaching programs like this one. So please look around while you're there. Again, the website is heraldsofhope.org. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope you will join us next week as we continue this study through 2 Corinthians. We have been blessed, and we bless you as you study God's Word. Paul encouraged Timothy by saying, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And this is the challenge we leave with you. Study, rightly divide, and be an approved worker. God bless your week.